Jim Furyk is joining us now. Jim, how are you?
Hey, Johnny, what you doing? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I would imagine that you've had a very busy week or so.
A little bit, yeah. I was at home for most of the week, and actually my brother-in-law got married this weekend, so I was hanging out in the Cayman Islands for a couple of days. Not too bad.
Isn't that a shame?
Exactly.
That's awfully nice. Take the whole clan down there with you?
Yeah, in fact, Tab and the kids are still there. I'm in Bethesda now.
That is not a good trade-off, my friend.
Well, they got the better end of the deal, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. But, of course, Fluff lives right there. He's a member at Congressional, of course, Mike Cowan. So you didn't have any choice. You had to come, or you never know what you might find in your golf bag.
Well, I love it here. This is one of my favorite courses on tour. I love playing Congo, and we had some board meetings there on the PGA Tour. That wasn't the fun part of the week, but got those over with, and happy to be talking to you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you. Taking the time to call in. I know that you don't get right over these things, but are you able to look back at last week with some sort of perspective and say, you know what, it's nice that I was right there and had a chance in another U.S. Open?
Well, it gives me confidence to get back in the hunt again and get in position. U.S. Open's kind of been, a little bittersweet for me. I've had about four really good opportunities to win now and was only able to close the door on one of them back in 03. And so 06 and 07 and now 2012 are definitely a thorn in my side. But, the toughest part is again, kind of a catch-22. I've probably had 400 people walk up to me the last week and say either congratulations or I was pulling for you or, man, tough one, feel bad or whatever it may be. And, you can't forget about it because I'm reminded about it at least a couple dozen times a day. But also it's nice of people to want to say something and handle the situation so well. And it's nice knowing that you have not only your loved ones and your friends and family rooting for you, but there's a lot of people out there cheering for you and rooting for you as well.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, they have been for a long, long time. And I think that that's one of the things that you've handled as well as anybody is that you do. I was sitting in our tent at Hilton Head this year, and there were three, I would say, senior writers, guys that that we all know and respect. You finished on Saturday. You spent 45 minutes talking to these guys as a member of the board and all of the responsibilities that come with that. I was impressed that you gave them as much time as you did. Do you look at that as just sort of part of the job, Jim?
Well, it is. It is. And, those members of the media have a job to do as well. And, I do feel it's our duty to definitely stand up there and tell them what you thought. And even after, Sunday night after the U.S. Open, I mean, you got to face the music. You got to answer the tough questions. And that's the last thing at that point I want to do is go back and rehash what went wrong. But, that's part of the job. And I think that the media has always treated me very well, and it probably has a lot to do with the fact that I've answered those questions, and they know that I don't want to be there at that moment, but I stood there and I've done it, and I think because of it, I have a very good relationship that I'm thankful for.
Yeah, I agree with exactly what you just said. I also think that honesty plays a big part in that too. I mean, you don't shy away from it and you don't make excuses. And I think that there's a lesson to be learned there, certainly for the younger players or maybe even some of the older players in that. I won't ask you to comment on that. I do want to ask you about the board meeting. Obviously, a lot of stuff going on with the nationwide tour with the qualifying school process. Are we reaching the end of those discussions?
We're close. We were hoping to be done with them today, and we're not. We've had a couple of formats for the new qualifying school and new structure being tossed around the last few weeks. Another format kind of came up this morning. And we as a board, I think we're mostly in favor of it. But we wanted to kind of go back and run it by our PAC, by our advisory council on our tour, on the nationwide tour. And we wanted to kind of give them an idea of what was going on, hear their comments first, and I think we'll revisit in the next couple of weeks and hopefully approve something and kind of get it off our plate. We've been throwing this around for about 12 months now, trying to figure out exactly what we wanted to do.
How hard has this process been? How much does this take away from what you're trying to do, which is win golf tournaments.
No, I think as long as you manage your time, I'm able to kind of put it behind me. I think I was more stressed out about it back in January and February because I didn't really feel like we had a very good focus of what we were trying to do. I felt like the ideas were pretty far apart. And as the year's gone on, we've kind of channeled it all in the same direction, and I started to feel a lot better about it here in the last couple of months. So it's been tough, and I'll be honest. Davis Wiles, this is the fourth board he served on. So that's 12 years on the board, 16 years total. And he said that this is probably the most difficult subject that he's ever seen the player directors have to deal with. So that being the case, that made me feel a lot better because I've been stressed out about it for a bunch of months, and to hear someone that's gone through a bunch of tough issues saying how difficult this one was, it made me feel better about the fact that I was supposed to be stressed out, and also that there's been many tough issues before. We'll weed through the information and keep narrowing it down, and hopefully we'll come up with a really good product here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I feel pretty certain about that. We're obviously talking to Jim Furyk. You mentioned Davis Love's name. He's the captain of the Ryder Cup team, which not only is he on the board, not only is he dealing with all of this, he's also dealing with all the stress of being a Ryder Cup captain that is put on him by not only the media, the PGA of America, all of that. I know he's a good friend of yours. How's he holding up through all of this?
Well, I think pretty well. It is a lot of work and it is a lot of stress, and I think that I can say that from one perspective, maybe being on a bunch of Ryder Cup teams, but I don't think any of us really understand the time requirement and the pressure that those guys put on themselves to try to help the team. And then once it happens, the pressure that's put on them, by the media and from outside forces as far as, if we as players go out and play well and the U.S. team wins the Ryder Cup, then, Davis becomes a hero, as well he should be, no matter what the outcome is. But, if he can do the best job possible, then the guys just don't knock the putts in and they don't hit the shots and they don't play well, then that coach always, that captain always gets second-guessed. And I guess it's like being, Western with Miami Heat right now, or whoever it may be, if the job isn't done, you're always going to be second guessed. So I think you have to have a thick skin and realize that it's a dream of a lot of ours to always be Ryder Cup captain. But you realize when you get that job that you're going to be the heel of the hero, and sometimes it's not always in your control.
Well, and you've been on teams that that went both ways. Do you think that it's unfair the amount of of stress that's put on the captaincy? In other words, I guess a better way to phrase the question, are we giving too much credit to Paul Azinger and not enough credit to the other guys, or does Paul deserve all the credit that he's getting and then the other guys deserve more than they got?
I would say the latter is perfect. I think Paul did a wonderful job and he does deserve the credit that he got. He helped turn the tide that year. It really it had mounted up on us for a bunch of years, and he came up with some radical, some different ideas, but very positive ideas. And a good captain can really provide an atmosphere for his players to succeed. But I think some of the captains, when we haven't won, have definitely been treated unfairly and too harshly.
What about Freddie as a captain? Obviously, he got an awful lot out of you in Australia last year. What does he bring to the table? And now he'll be a President's Cup captain for the third time. What does he bring to the table that's unique?
I think in order for a captain to seem genuine, he has to do things in his own way. And, Freddie is very loose and laid back and flip, and he likes to act like he doesn't care. And if all of a sudden he got really uptight and started giving long-winded speeches, I think everyone would look at him and say, what is going on here? And it's just not his way. He gives everyone a lot of rope and lets you do things the way you want to, and he's gonna have fun one way or another, and I think because of that, we're all gonna have fun and we're gonna enjoy ourselves and have a good time. And Freddie's got kind of that personality where you want to be around him. You're gonna have fun, and he did things the way that you would expect Freddie would, and I think that's what made him such a good captain.
Yeah, I think Davis is going to bring a lot of that to the table. You know Davis well enough, and I know him well enough. Davis has a lot more personality than he's put before the public over the course of his career. He's a lot funnier guy, a lot more fun-loving guy than I think people realize.
Yeah, he really is. I enjoy being around him and his company, and he and Robin are friends with Davis and I. I know how much the Ryder Cup means to him. I know how much PGA of America meant. The PGA is his only major championship, and I've played on a bunch of teams with him, so I know how important it is, and I think that emotion is going to show, and it's going to reflect on the United States team, come later this year.
Jim, when people ask you about, you could be a Ryder Cup captain, you could be a President's Cup captain, what do you think of the Hall of Fame and the ballots that you've been on? Do you start to think, I'm not that old yet? I've still got a lot of life left in my game.
Yeah, I do think I have a lot of life left in my game. But, the fact of the matter is I'm 42. I am a little tired about hearing at the U.S. Open I was called middle-aged in one of my press conferences. And I will say I was a little ticked off by that one. And, I had to remind them. I said, hey, guys, 2 years, 2010, I had my best year ever and was player of the year and won three times. And I realized I didn't play well in 2011, but I didn't get old overnight. I had a bad year. I fessed up to it. I talked about all the reasons why I think it happened. And I've worked on a lot of those reasons. And I think that's why this year has been a lot more successful. But I'm not old yet and I'm not done yet. And I kind of said it Sunday night afterwards that, I realized I let this one slide and I had my opportunity and I blew it. But by no way do I think that opportunity is never going to rise again, or that I'm not going to have an opportunity to win golf tournaments again. So, I'm kind of a little tired of hearing about how old I am. And they all got a chuckle out of that one, and we kind of moved on.
Well, you look great. You're probably in the best shape of your life. Is it true you were in the gym at 10 o'clock on Monday morning back in Ponte Vedra after the U.S. Open?
That is correct.
You do realize you could take a day off at that point, don't you?
Well, I was a little pissed off. I needed to kind of get some aggression out. And I'm not sure how you heard that, but yes, I got about 2 hours sleep at most on the way home. It's, as you know, and after a good or a bad tournament, it's really hard to sleep. After a tournament where I have a chance to win. If I win, I'm excited and I don't sleep. If I don't win, then it's in my mind. I have to run the course of events kind of through my mind, figure out what went wrong and how I can fix it. And it's kind of all my process of putting it behind me. I want to do that as quick as I possibly can. And I didn't sleep much Sunday night, but when I got up Monday morning, the kids and Tab went to bed, and I was kind of tinkering around the house, and I had a workout scheduled for 10 o'clock and showed up. And I'll be honest, it was probably one of the best workouts of my life because I was, like I said, I was mad. I needed to get some aggression out. Now, by the time Wednesday came around, I was supposed to work out again. I was pretty petered out. That was probably one of my worst ever.
Absolutely. Before I let you go, I want to ask you about the Jim and Tabitha Foundation. I know you guys had Darius Rucker down there last year. For our listeners who aren't familiar with us, describe what it is and how they can get more information on it.
Well, we moved throughout to Jacksonville, and that's where we raise our kids and our family, and that's really become our home. So we wanted to start a charity to help families in need and children in need in the Jacksonville area. We started almost 2 years ago, and we've already had two charity foundation golf tournaments. I've had some guys come off tour. I've had some wonderful people from the entertainment business, from athletes, and from all walks of life, the celebrities to play in the tournament. And, the focus is on trying to help some of the charities that are really dear to us, our Children's Hospital at Home, Community Pete's Care, among others, Blessings in a Backpack, and try to raise as much money as we can for some wonderful causes and partner up with some wonderful charities and foundations that we have in the Jacksonville area. So it's been dear to our heart, and it's been a lot of hard work, and it's been worth every bit and twice as much as we put into it. So it's been a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to it for many years to come. But we do have a website, the Jim and Tabitha Furyk Foundation, and for anyone that wants to find out more, I wish you'd go check it out. And and see what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You guys, I'm sure there's an awful lot to be proud of there, Jim. Have a great week this week. You know, you can shut everybody up this week with you know, 3 or 4 67s.
You know, my biggest fear, and I think my toughest goal this week is going to be patience and really trying not to get it all back at once, or, you know, just, you know, if it happens this week, great. But if not, just go out there and play the best I can and try to get myself in contention this week. If it doesn't happen, then we'll go ahead and try to do the same thing at Greenbrier. But, you know, as you know, trying to force the issue rarely works, and it's hard not to do that after what happened to U.S. Open. So, it'll test everything I've got this week to try to be patient.
Well, I'm sure you will be. We really appreciate the time. We'll be pulling for you. I'll be on the ground this week, so I'll probably be walking alongside, calling your shots. It's kind of heartbreaking for me to know that Tabitha isn't going to be there, though.
She'll be later in the week. She'll be later in the week. You'll see her.
Okay.
Right. Jim, I'd love to come on the game. Keep in touch.